You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As related by St. Alphonsus Liguori, in Florence there lived a young girl named Benedetta, the Blessed, although she might better have been called Maledetta, the Cursed, from the scandalous and wicked life she led. Happily for her, St. Dominic happened to preach in that city, and she, from mere curiosity, went one day to hear him. But the Lord touched her heart during the sermon, so that weeping bitterly, she went to make her confession to the saint. Saint Dominic heard her confession, gave her absolution, and directed her to say the rosary. But the unhappy girl, by the force of her evil habits, returned to her wicked life. The saint heard of it, and going to her, induced her to confess once more. God, in order to confirm her in her good life, one day showed hell to her, and some persons there who had been already condemned on her account. Then opening a book, he made her read in it the frightful record of her sins. The penitent shuddered at the sight and, full of confidence, had recourse to Mary and asked her help, and learned that this Divine Mother had already obtained from God for her time enough to mourn for her numerous sins. The vision disappeared and Benedetta devoted herself to a good life. But seeing always open before her eyes that dark catalog, she one day prayed in these words to her consoler. O Mother, it is true that for my sins I should now be deep in hell, but since thou by thy intercession hast liberated me from it, by obtaining for me time for repentance, most merciful Lady, I ask of thee one other favor. I will never cease to weep for my sins, but do thou obtain for me that they may be cancelled from that book. After this prayer, Mary appeared to her and told her that in order to obtain what she asked, she must persevere an eternal remembrance or must preserve an eternal remembrance of her sins and of the mercy of God towards her, and still more that she must meditate on the passion of her Son, which he suffered for love of her, and also that she must bear in mind that many had been damned who had committed fewer sins than she had done. She also revealed her that a child of only 8 years of age, for one mortal sin only, had been that day condemned to hell. Benedetta, having faithfully obeyed the Most Holy Virgin, one day beheld Jesus Christ and showed her that book and said to her, "Behold, thy sins are cancelled. The book is white. Inscribe on it now acts of love and of virtue." Benedetta did this and led a holy life and then died a holy death. the faith and perseverance of this young lady of Venice or Florence be found in my parish and yours today. Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. Last week we were taking a journey through the story of King Melchizedek and how our Lord's priesthood, in a sense, and the priesthood that then followed, was of the order of Melchizedek. Of how, according to ancient tradition, the Last Supper was said in the chenacle there, which was built by Herod. The synagogue that had been built by Herod over the resting place and burial tomb of King David and the kings of Judah of the house of David, and also over the burial place of Melchizedek. We're going to continue this extraordinary story in tying the Last Supper and also the crucifixion to the great first kings of Scripture itself.
Oh,
are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
Many people ask, or have thought of, where is King David himself, that great king of Scripture, buried? And the answer, really, you can go through the historical sources. You can also go through Scriptures, where in 1 Kings 2, it reads, quote, "So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David." So David was buried in Jerusalem. We also read that in the book of Acts, when St. Peter is preaching to the people there in Jerusalem, this is after Pentecost. We read in Acts 2, verse 29, where Peter says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher, his burying place, his tomb, is with us unto this day." So it was even at the time that St. Peter here was speaking to the people of Jerusalem that everyone knew where the tomb of David was, in Jerusalem. Continuing from our session last week, where we delved into this mystery, the mystery that the upper room, this synagogue that had been built over David's burial place, that the chenacle belonged to David's family. The Blessed Mother was the princess of the royal family and David's heir, as was Joseph. And therefore, Jesus, Yeshua, prince of the house of David, had a right to that building. That the building was built over the burial place, the tombs of David and of those of the kings of the house of David, but also of the burial place of Melchizedek. King Melchizedek, one can say then, was the first king of Jerusalem. And Melchizedek is introduced to us at the time of Abram, where Abram, returning from the war, was offered a sacrifice of bread and wine by Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now, as we said in last session, many people say that Melchizedek, King Melchizedek, is the first priest king mentioned in Scripture. But if you really think of it, the first priest king in Scripture was truly Adam. Adam, who was the first high priest of creation, and because he had been given authority over all the living creatures and everything on earth, he was the first king. One thing to keep in mind is that the Hebrews, the Semitic people, the Israelites, they were very, very careful with the remains, the bones, so to speak, of their forefathers, the patriarchs of Israel. And that before his death, Joseph had his brothers swear that they would carry his bones out of Egypt to Canaan. In fact, it says in Exodus 13, verse 19, that, quote, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had solemnly sworn the people of Israel, saying, God will visit you And then you must carry my bones with you from here. It was in essence a fulfillment of that prophecy of Joseph himself, of the patriarch Joseph. In fact, there's even in the ancient rabbinical sources where it reads that, quote, "While all Israel plundered Egypt, Moses devoted himself to search for Joseph's bones. He went to Sarah, the daughter of Asher, who said that the Egyptians made him a metal coffin and sank it into the Nile so that its waters became blessed." Moses went, in essence, to retrieve that coffin and took Joseph's coffin and carried it with him. In all those years that Israel wandered in the desert, and here's a very interesting thing. In the 40 years that Israel wandered in the desert after Mount Sinai, when they were given the Ten Commandments and they built the Ark of the Covenant, according to ancient Jewish tradition, Joseph's coffin and the Ark of the Covenant, these two boxes, one with the dead Joseph and the other of the Ark of the Covenant itself, went side by side as Israel wandered in repentance in those 40 years in the desert. What an extraordinary image and thought that would be. According to ancient Jewish tradition, these two boxes, one with the dead Joseph, his coffin, and the other, the Ark of the Covenant, went side by side while Israel journeyed through the desert for those 40 years. What an extraordinary thought that is. Where is Joseph buried? Well, when you go back into scriptures, this is what you find. When Abram first entered the land of Canaan there, his first stop was the place known as Shechem. Two generations later, Jacob came to Shechem and purchased a piece of land there. Many years later, when the entire family was already in Egypt, Jacob, the patriarch, promised the city of Shechem to Joseph, his son. After the Exodus, the Jews buried Joseph's remains in the plot of land which Jacob had bought at Shechem. Before Joshua died, he gathered Israel in Shechem and made a covenant between them and Yahweh. When King Solomon died, the people gathered in the city of Shechem, and it was there that the 10 northern tribes of Israel separated from Davidic rule. They separated themselves from the house of David, thereby forming the northern kingdom of Israel, as opposed to the kingdom of Judah and the house of David in the south. And interestingly, it was at Shechem that our Lord encountered the Samaritan woman at the well. In essence, it was a reconciliation between rebellious Israel in the north and the house of David, represented by our Lord, Yeshua ben David, Jesus, son of David. And so Joseph was buried there at Shechem. Continuing in this story, the Israelites carried the bones of the patriarch Joseph with them from Egypt through their wanderings in the desert. Through 40 years of wandering in the desert and through all manners of apostasies and failings, the Israelites nevertheless persevered with Joseph's bones. And interestingly, it's been said that though Israel may have abandoned God, the God of Joseph, from time to time, they never abandoned the bones of Joseph himself. So the Israelites took special care for the bones of the patriarch Joseph. But what about the father of fathers, the patriarch of patriarchs himself? What about the remains of Adam himself? There is an extraordinary tradition among the Jews at the time of Jesus that Noah confided the skull of Adam, the remains of Adam, to his son Shem. And that Shem then passed on the skull of Adam, the remains of Adam, to Melchizedek, eventually finding its way to Melchizedek, the priest king of Salem. Yes, there are conflicting Jewish traditions that place Adam's burial place at the cave at Machpelah there in Hebron. But there's also this tradition here which indicates the passing down of the remains of Adam from one to another, and then finding their way eventually into the possession of King Melchizedek himself. And here's another thing. If, according to that Jewish tradition, Adam's remains were in the possession of Noah, if Noah passed on the skull and remains of Adam to his son Shem, it follows that the skull / remains of Adam was carried in the ark. Think of this. In doing a comparison between that ark, the Ark of Noah, and the Blessed Mother, Mary, who is also the new Ark of the Covenant. What did Mary, the new Ark, carry within her? Not just the skull and remains of the new Adam, but the new Adam himself, the new living and breathing Adam himself. What an extraordinary thought that is. And according to tradition, where then did Melchizedek eventually place the bones of Adam? Well, think of this first. In the letter to the Hebrews, Jesus is called a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7 of the letter to the Hebrews, verses 13 to 17. We also find in Psalm 110, which prophesies that what? You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And that was a prophecy, a messianic prophecy speaking of the coming Messiah. The name Melchizedek means king of righteousness and combines the words for king, melech, and righteousness, zedek, or priest. In other words, Melchizedek means king of righteousness or king priest. This also points to another thing, which is why, in part, We are baptized as priest, prophet, and king. Melchizedek was the priest king of Salem. And Salem was Jerusalem, the city of priests. The city of peace. So Melchizedek was the king of peace, who ruled in Jerusalem, the city of priests of peace. And we often hear of Jesus' title as what? The Prince of Peace. This extraordinary connection here from Adam through Noah, Shem, Melchizedek, and now to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace.
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Baruch haba b'shem.
You are listening to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
The letter of Hebrews, chapter 7, 1-3, tells us, quote, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, and to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Salem, that is the King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, and has neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever." And again, as we mentioned in our previous session, an interesting and curious thing that is referenced here in the letter of Hebrews is that it emphasizes the fact that he is, quote, without father or mother or genealogy, and is neither beginning of days nor end of life, in the sense that Melchizedek just simply seems to appear at a point in scriptures here and then disappears, and we don't hear of him again. An interesting thing here, again, as I've mentioned previously, is that the only other person in scriptures who fits this analogy here of without father or mother or genealogy is Adam himself. In fact, here St. Paul in the letter of Hebrews is trying to make this connection between Melchizedek and Adam. Now, yes, there is a later tradition in Jewish thought that said that Adam and Eve, as well as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their wives, are buried in the cave of Machpelah near Hebron. One of the reasons why Hebron is called Kiryat Arba, the city of the four. But there's an even earlier Jewish tradition which says that Adam's body and skull was buried near Jerusalem, and with this connection having gone through Noah, his son Shem, and ultimately with Melchizedek, the priest king of Salem, Jerusalem, at the time of Abraham. And interestingly also, there is an early Christian legend, and I use the word legend loosely here, referred to by Origen, one of the church fathers in the 2nd century AD, that Adam's burial place is identical with the place of the crucifixion of our Lord. Could it be, and how appropriate would it be, that the place of man's fall became the place of man's redemption? That Jerusalem is built on top of the Garden of Eden. More geographically correct, the temple itself, the temple building itself, is built on top of the actual garden itself, where man walked with God. And as a result of the sin of the forbidden fruit, a sinful man was cast out of the garden, and the separation now between a sinful man and a holy God. So as that tradition, that ancient Jewish tradition and Christian tradition that says Melchizedek, king of Salem, placed the bones of Adam in his city, Jerusalem. And again, according to the ancient sources, Melchizedek actually placed the bones of Adam at Golgotha. The Talmudists, the ancient Jewish sages, and the church fathers We're all well aware of this tradition. The evangelists too, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, speak of one and not many skulls. Because Golgotha means the place of the skull. Not the place of many skulls, but the skull. The word Calvary, from the Latin calvaria, means a skull. So Calvary too is a reference to the, quote, place of the skull. So in other words, Golgotha is the place of the skull, i.e. one famous skull, not a general place of execution strewn with skulls. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre itself contains with it two of the holy sites in Christianity. For those who have been there would know this quite clearly. Within the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, we find that it encompasses both Calvary or Golgotha, where our Lord was crucified, and it also encompasses the tomb where our Lord was buried, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, that new tomb where Jesus was buried and where ultimately he resurrected from. And interestingly, in that same church, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which encompasses both Golgotha, and where our Lord was crucified, and a tomb where he was buried and resurrected, there is also a very special chapel beneath the site of Calvary itself in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And according to ancient tradition, at the crucifixion of our Lord, Jesus' blood ran down the cross and through the rocks of Golgotha to fill the skull of Adam. That the place where our Lord was crucified was directly above the place where, according to ancient tradition, Adam was buried by Melchizedek. If you ever go back and look at a lot of these older paintings and images of the crucifixion, many times you will see that at the base of the cross, many times you will see a depiction of a skull at the base of the cross. And again, this was a visual catechesis in a way of making this connection of this ancient Christian tradition that the place of the crucifixion happened over the place where Adam was buried. And we tend to forget that one of the reasons why many of the older Catholic churches, cathedrals, are very ornate and have all these images all over the place, that the people at the time, many of the people at the time, were illiterate and could not read and write. So what the church did is they used this visual medium of paintings and stained glass windows to, as a way of catechizing the faithful, a faithful who really could not read much or write much. And so much of their catechesis, they received not just from listening to the preachings of the priests and monks and whatnot, but also this visual catechesis of all these images that depicted various important events of our Lord's birth, life, passion, crucifixion, death, and resurrection, and other various events throughout Scripture as well. And again, reason why in many churches, again, where there are, you do see a visual representation of the depiction of the crucifixion, many times you will find a skull at the base of the cross. And again, it was making this connection, this ancient Christian tradition. The crucifixion occurred over the burial spot, place of Adam. Hence, also, you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, a church that encompasses both Calvary and the tomb, also encompasses the burial spot of Adam. So that if you go to the lower levels of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, there is a place that is referred to and referenced as the Chapel of Adam. And here behind an altar here in this niche that is referenced as the Chapel of Adam, there is a glass window that's cut into the wall there that goes into, opens out into the bedrock beyond. And you see that there's this crack there through that, you can see through that window. And the crack that you see there on the other side of the altar in that window is traditionally claimed to be caused by the earthquake that occurred when our Lord died on the cross. And interestingly, theologically speaking, one can say that our Lord, the crucifixion that happened over the burial place of Adam, where his skull is, that at the crucifixion as well, Satan's skull was crushed at Calvary by our Lord and his mother, the Blessed Mother herself. So think of it this way. Adam was priest, prophet, and king. Melchizedek was priest, prophet, and king. And our Lord Jesus was the true fulfillment of priest, prophet, and king. At your baptism, you are marked with oil as a sign that you are consecrated to God and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Your anointing also was a sign that you are joined to Christ and share in his threefold mission as priest, prophet, and king. And remember this as well. The name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. He was a king, the king of Salem, of Jerusalem. Gabriel announced to Mary that the Lord God would give her son the throne of David, his father, and he would rule over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob, who was Jacob's son? Joseph, the patriarch Joseph. The Magi looked for a newborn king of the Jews. In fact, when they went to Jerusalem, it would make sense that if they were to find the king of the Jews, he would be in Jerusalem. And they went there. And they spoke to Herod and said, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" What a dangerous thing for the Magi to have said. Because in essence, they were saying to Herod, "You're not king. There's someone else who's been born. He's the king." And as the priests and scribes consulted the ancient books, where it said that the where they even made the connection between newborn king and Messiah, the Mashiach. And where would he be born? In the place where David was born. Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the house of bread. A very fitting place for the bread of life to have been born. When our Lord entered Jerusalem, the crowds hailed him as a king. Blessed is he who is the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Son of David. Everyone in Jerusalem there would have heard of this Jesus, Yeshua HaNatzari, Jesus of Nazareth. Everyone in Jerusalem would have known that he was of the lineage of the house of David. Everyone would have known that as a result of that, Jesus of Nazareth was of royal blood and heir to the throne of David. Even though at that time it was ruled by Herod, under the proxy of Imperial Rome and Caesar. Everyone, anybody who had a doubt as to the royal kingship claims of our Lord would have just have to have gone to the temple where the genealogies were kept, not just of the priests, and of those who were the Levites, the Kohens and the Levites, but also of those who were of the line of David. So if he was not Ben David, son of David, people would have known right away. But nobody contested it. In fact, on that Palm Sunday, they proclaimed it. He was arrested for making himself a king, declaring himself the Messiah. In fact, the soldiers mocked him as one, and in mocking him, placed a crown of thorns on his head. Pilate even asked him if he were a king. Interestingly, when Pilate asked him if he were a king, it was basically Pilate asking our Lord, guilty or not guilty? Because if he proclaimed himself a king, he would have placed himself in rebellion to Rome. And our Lord responded, you say that I am, for this I was born. The charge written against him was Yeshua HaNatzari V'melech HaYehudin, that sign that was written above the cross in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Jesus announced the kingdom of God. And yet his mission was to make that most greatest, most difficult of all conquests. And that was to conquer the human heart. That last bastion of creation that resists its creator, the human heart. And so we have in Jerusalem, the Garden of Eden, in the upper room, the Last Supper, the first holy sacrifice of the Mass set over the bones of Melchizedek, David, Solomon, and the other kings of Judah. the sacrifice of the lamb which was slain from the beginning of the world, over the burial place of Adam's skull and bones. A restoration of the lost kingship and priesthood of Adam. And how curiously did it all end there at Calvary? With a most curious crown and throne for the King of Kings himself. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zumpanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.